Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm. A psalm that probably everyone here knows. Many of you will know it off by heart. You've learned it. Maybe in Sunday school or at your mother's knee. You've been brought up to know the words of Psalm 23. Internationally, it's known worldwide. This wonderful, wonderful psalm of David, penned so many centuries ago, and yet so up to date, so relevant in this modern day for us. And in times of need, what a psalm it is to read, to think upon the words, the Lord being our shepherd, being near to us, providing for our need. And we want to share some thoughts tonight from Psalm 23, a psalm of David. And David is speaking from personal experience, and this is what he says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless this psalm to every heart, and may it be an encouragement. The death of the righteous. Verse 4 is our text. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's only two types of people in the world. Only two types of people in this meeting, in fact. Those who know the shepherd and can say with the same confidence that David says as he writes the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And those, on the other hand, who know him not. There's only two types of life lived here on the earth. A life that's lived for God, for his glory. A life that is lived apart from God and the things of the world. And there's only two types of death. The death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. The death of the righteous that brings a man to heaven. The death of the wicked that brings an individual to a lost eternity in that place that is called hell. A righteous man is one who has been made righteous in the sight of God. It's always good when we speak about terms, biblical terms, theological terms, that we know exactly what we're talking about. So when I refer to a righteous man, you'll know exactly what I mean, biblically, theologically. A righteous man is one who has been made righteous before God. Leads us to the heart of the gospel, to the great doctrine of justification. Justification means to declare an individual to be righteous in the sight of God for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. That's what a righteous man is. That's the only way to be made righteous before God. A wicked man or an unrighteous man is still in his sin, in his transgressions. And the Bible has much to say about the death of both. You study and read the Bible, and the Bible tells you about the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. The death of the righteous, for example, is precious. Isn't that what the psalmist said when he talked about the passing of the saints of God from this life? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The righteous man dies with hope. For the Bible also says that the righteous hath hope in his death. And that's not a vague, obscure hope. The hope here is something that's certain. Something that's absolutely sure. I have a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. The righteous in his death has triumph. What is the triumph? The triumph is to go to heaven. to be with the Lord. In Luke chapter 16, we read about a beggar. You remember the description that is given about the beggar's death, how the beggar died, and then the words that follow, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's a wonderful picture of what happens in death. The child of God is carried to be with the Lord, carried by the very angels of God to glory, to the place of comfort. To die as a Christian, to die the death of the righteous, is indeed something that is gain for Paul in his testimony. He said, to die is gain. Everything to gain when you leave this life. And to die the death of the righteous, the end of that man, the Bible says, is peace. There's a wonderful peace for the Christian at the end of life's journey when we depart this life to be with the Savior. And of course, the Bible speaks about the death of the unrighteous, the death of the wicked man, the man that knows not the Lord. It's an awful death to die. In fact, the Lord says in the prophecy of Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You think about what God is saying. God does not take pleasure in the man that dies without his mercy. God does not delight in that death. Neither should we. Because that death is an awful death. That is a death that will bring a man into destruction and into a lost eternity forevermore. What a death that is to die. In the same chapter of Luke 16, we not only read about the beggar, we read about the other man in eternity. The rich man. And the Bible says the rich man died. Oh, that was the common thing. That's what the thing they had in common, both of them. The beggar and the rich man alike, they both died. But the rich man died, the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He's in a place of suffering, a place of pain. He's tormented in the flame, he says. And so it's an awful thing to die in that state, to die without the Lord. I want to speak tonight about the death of the righteous. David is giving his personal testimony in Psalm 23. He's talking here about what the Lord means to him. And that is a great part of anyone's testimony. What the Lord means to those who believe. He's speaking here about the Lord's provision, how the Lord has provided for him as a sheep in the pasture of Christ. He's speaking about the goodness of God. He's talking about his future here, the future destiny, how that he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he's describing the day of his death in this marvelous text tonight that we're taking as a verse of scripture to look at for a little time. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The death of the righteous, and I think it's very appropriate and fitting. Some righteous people have died, haven't they, this week? And her brother John and his wife and family circle, they know all about that. Mrs. Curry died in the Lord. She died the death of the righteous. She knows something of this experience that the psalmist David is writing about here, as she went to be with the Lord, which is far better. And I want to talk about that death tonight, trusting that it will speak to all of our hearts, that it might be an encouragement to God's people, that it might be a challenge to those who know him not. David, first of all, speaks about the prospect of death. He has death in mind here. He's speaking about passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And all men are going to die. The righteous and the unrighteous. So it doesn't really matter who you are, what background you come from, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you know Jesus Christ or not, whether you're bound for heaven or not, you're going to die. There's nothing sure about that. You're going to meet death one day. Of this one thing, David was confident. He was going to die. And there was many a time that he was near death. He described it on one occasion as a step. Just a step. That's all it is. My friend, you take one step and it might take you into eternity, into death itself. And David said, there's a step between me and death. And how true that was through his life. You think of the dangers that he encountered as a shepherd boy out in the fields tending his father's flock. You remember how the bear and the lion came to take away the lambs of the flock? And David had to stand on that occasion and fight those ferocious animals. There was but a step between him and death as a young man out there in the shepherd's field. Remember the occasion when he stood before the giant Goliath. They have calculated that the man, the huge man, was something like 11 feet tall. Almost twice the height of any man here. Towering above David with all the modern weaponry of his day. And David had but a sling and a few stones. Do you imagine the scene? There was a step between him and death. What about the wars with the Philistines? As the captain of Saul's army, many a time going out to fight the battles of the Lord for Israel, David led the men into war. There was a step between him and death. Think of the persecution times when David was hounded from pillar to post as Saul sought to take his life. Yes, there was a step between him and death. Later on when he was king, many years later, during the rebellion of Absalom, very sad piece of history in David's life, when his own son, the son of his flesh, rose up against David in a terrible conspiracy along with Ahithophel. Ahithophel had a plan to kill David. He says, give me 12,000 men and I will go and march against David. And when he's weary and tired, we will kill the king only. And the Bible says the saying pleased Absalom. Absalom, his son, would delight in the death of his father. And in that period when David had to flee the city and go into hiding, there was a step between him and death. And we think of the many enemies and the plots that were laid and the plans against David's life and all the treachery. David knew that he was going to die. He knew it. Didn't know how. Would it be by the wild beasts out there in the shepherd's field? Would it be by an assassin? Some of the kings of Israel were killed by an assassin who was sent to murder the king. Is that the way that David would die? Would it be in a war situation as he led the army out into the battlefield? Would it be through some accident or maybe a terminal illness? Or would David live to old age, and then in old age he would pass from this scene of time? He didn't know how he was going to die. And my friends, really that was not the important issue. It doesn't really matter how you die. I think of some deaths, and there's some deaths I wouldn't choose to die, but I tell you, that's not really the important thing. Some people die quickly. Just in a moment, they're taken from this scene of time into eternity. Some people die tragically, under terrible circumstances. Others die unexpectedly. Some die long, lingering deaths. They suffer and they have a horrible death. But though there may be suffering and pain, anguish and tears, sorrow, and even questionings of heart, why, Lord, has this happened to me? I want to tell you, that's not really important. David didn't know how he was going to die. He didn't know where he was going to die. Would it be in the shepherd's field? Or maybe in the palace of the king? Or would it be in the battlefield or some cave? Many a time David had to flee and hide in some cave. Or would it be in the stillness of the night, maybe in his own bed, suddenly taken from this scene of time? He didn't know where. And he didn't know when either. We're not sure when this psalm was penned in the life of David. So we don't know whether death for him was near or far. The one thing that was extremely vital was not how or where or when, but in what state David would die. That's the all-important consideration. David knew he would die. He could say, as you read a verse like this, he could say in his heart, I'm going to leave this life. I'm going to depart into eternity. I'm going to walk that way. The portal will open. The irresistible call will come. The angel will knock. The hand of death will visit. But it's well with my soul, because the Lord is my shepherd. I know the shepherd. And that was the all-important thing in the prospect of death, that he knew the Lord. You'll notice the wonderful position of this psalm. I'm sure many of God's people have have looked at it before. It comes immediately and obviously after Psalm 22. What is Psalm 22? It's the Psalm of the cross. It's all about the sufferings of the Saviour. And my friends, you can't say with David in the Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," until you get to the Psalm 22 and you say, "The Lord is my Saviour. I've been to the cross. I know something of the forgiveness of sin. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." And that's why David, who could say with Psalm 22, "He's my Saviour," could now say in Psalm 23, "He's my shepherd." He knew the Lord in a very personal way. And there's nothing surer than David was going to die. There's nothing surer for us. And how true it is, we don't know how we're going to die. Will it be a car accident? So many are killed on the roads these days, aren't they? Will it be through some other tragedy, maybe a plane crash or an illness, some disease overtakes our bodies? We get the news from the doctor, "All is not well and you're going to die." Or will it be through old age? Will the Lord allow us to live 70, 80, 90 years and more, and then death will come? We don't know where we're going to die either, do we? Will it be out on the roads? Will it be in church? People have died in church, you know. Will it be travelling home tonight from the house of God? Will it be in our homes or our place of work or in our school or somewhere else, maybe on holiday? We don't know where we're going to die, and we don't know when we're going to die either. Is it near? Is it far? It's only a step away, just a step. But my friends, I want you to get this important truth into your heart. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? He's my shepherd. The prospect of death. I look at this verse and I also see the portrait of death. And there's a wonderful, wonderful picture that is given here. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." There's a fourfold view in this text of what death is like. First of all, it's a walk. Do you know the unsaved fall headlong into death and destruction? That's how the death of Judas Iscariot is described. Falling headlong into a lost eternity. What an awful way to die. But believers have a gentle passing, a pleasant walk to the other side. The dying saint is not in a flurry. He doesn't run through death as someone who is alarmed. No, it's a gentle walk. It's a walk. And you'll notice, secondly, it's a walk through. We don't stay in the dark place. We're not lost in the midst of the death that we die. But we're brought through to the other side, through what might be a dark tunnel. But praise God, there is the light of the other side for the child of God. And then in the third place, he describes it here as a valley. And valleys are often deep and dark. And in David's day, they were full of wild beasts. But valleys are also very fruitful, and David knew something of that as he looked forward to death. "For me, as one who knows the Saviour and one who knows the Shepherd, this valley is going to be a fruitful time for me. It's a valley for me." And then the fourth view that he gives is a shadow. There's no substance in it, just a shadow. When there's a shadow, there must be light somewhere. Isn't that right? And so there is. There's a light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful time that will be for the child of God. Just a shadow. The shadow can't hurt you. The shadow of a serpent will not sting. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a lion cannot harm you. The shadow of a sword cannot pierce you. And the shadow of death cannot destroy you. Just a shadow. And this is the portrait that David is setting before his own mind as he thinks about death. And then there's also peace in death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The unconverted man, by the way, will fear. The man who knows not the Lord will be terrified. He will be filled with trouble. He will be filled with distress. Just think of the awful future to which he will go. He's not ready. He's going down the road that leads to hell. And you ask the nurses and the doctors that have sat by the bedside of those who have died without the Lord, and they will tell you the story in many, many cases of what it is for an unconverted man to go out into eternity, and the fear that grips him, and the terror that seizes his soul. Especially the man that knows something of the gospel and knows that he's not ready. Some Christians who have not been living right or have doubts and lack assurance may have anxiety. Though I believe if there's been genuine conversion, the Lord will take these away. No reason to fear. There may rise certain thoughts in our minds. Death is an experience we do not know. We have never experienced it, you see. We've never gone this way before. Sorrow of leaving our loved ones and our friends. It can't be easy when you're saying farewell. If you do have a deathbed and you're saying your final words to those that you love on earth and you're taking your leave of this life. How the soul is transported to glory, we don't exactly know how, except by the descriptions that the Word of God gives us. And we've thought about there the angels carrying the very soul of Lazarus into the place of comfort. Maybe we even think in the hour of death of it standing before God, before his immediate, majestic, holy presence. What a fearful thing that is, and yet we ought not to fear, those of us who know him. And heaven is a place that we've never seen. But when you study the truth of this matter, we ought not to fear. Because you see, our sins are gone. There's never a sin that's going to be laid against the child of God. They're gone beneath the cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sorrow has vanished. There'll be no more sorrow where we're going. Pain and distress will go forever. Jesus is our Savior, and he will own us on that day. And heaven is the destiny to which we are going. That peace that passeth all understanding will be ours when we come to die. I can assure you of that, dear Christian, on the authority of God's word. David says, I will fear no ill. And I know of those, and that's their testimony when they've come to die. It's been a joyful time, a peaceful time. And that peace that passes all understanding has been theirs. And then as you look at the text, there's the presence and death. I will fear no evil. Here's the reason. For thou art with me. Death is a valley. Death is a shadow. Death is darkness. If I had to cross the valley alone, it would be a fearful thought. But here's the wonderful truth for the Christian. There's one to take you by the hand and lead you through the valley of the shadow of death to the other side. The psalmist says, thou art with me. In our dying moments, the blessed Lord Jesus, our Savior, Redeemer, the shepherd of our soul, is there right beside us at our right hand. The good shepherd will convoy his sheep across. You know, sometimes your child can have fears of the darkness. Maybe walking along a dark lane or a road. You might even fear yourself as an older person. The darkness of the night, walking down that lane by yourself. Or maybe the child's going down to the bedroom on a dark, windy night. Perhaps during a thunderstorm. And the child is naturally full of anxiety and fear and apprehension. But you take that child by the hand and go with the child. Let your presence be there. And all's well. All's well. Jesus will be there. I don't want to cross Jordan alone. Thank God I will not have to cross Jordan alone. For thou art with me. I can remember my grandmother leaving the scene of time. My grandmother McBride, my mother's side, she was 86, a good life. I can remember visiting her just before she passed out into eternity. She'd actually been unconscious, but I read with her the Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I can remember coming to the end of that psalm, and just out of the blue, my grandmother woke up just for a moment, and she was able to quote the latter part of the psalm with me. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I didn't know that she was going to die in just about an hour or two after I left. But she died with that assurance in her heart that the God of Jacob was her refuge in the moment of death. And she passed from this scene of time into eternity with the shepherd holding her by the hand and bringing her through to the other side. The presence that we have in death. You know, there's a wonderful picture of this. Let me read, you needn't turn to it. Let me read you the passage of scripture in the Gospel of John in the chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, when the even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he says unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Isn't that a wonderful picture of how it is with you and I? We're on this little journey in life. We're on this little journey in death, going through, just like a ship going through the valley. And there might be a little fear in our hearts. There might be something of the wind howling around us, the uncertainty of what we're going through at that moment. But then Jesus appears, and Jesus says to us, fear not, it's I. And we receive him into the ship, and immediately we're at the other side. That's a picture of what it is to die in the Lord. To die with the Lord being with you, the presence that David knew that he would have, and everyone in this meeting, saved by grace, knows tonight too. Then finally in the text there is the protection in death. Because here the psalmist in verse 4 of Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My rod and my staff. I'm told that there were three main purposes of the rod. The first purpose was to count the sheep. They passed on to the rod when they came into the fold, and one by one the shepherd counted the sheep. And God takes special notice and takes special account of his sheep. One by one he knows them all. Every single child of God, he knows them right throughout the world, from the beginning of days to the end of time. Not one of them will be lost. I'm told also the rod was used for controlling the sheep. When they were negligent in following the shepherd, he put out his rod to quicken their pace. And sometimes the Lord has to do that with us as Christians. Whenever we are negligent, whenever we're maybe wandering a little bit, the rod is put out and we're steered on course, put back into the way again, our pace is quickened. The rod, in the third place, is used for correcting the sheep when they wander into other pastures, not considering the dangers which such a separation brings. The shepherd fetches them back again, and they use the rod to fetch them back. And sometimes we feel the rod of God, when we turn into bypath meadows, the rod is used to bring us back into the way again. The staff was used to defend the sheep from its enemies. That's how David probably defended his sheep when the lion came and the bear came. Protected them. When the saint comes to die, the shepherd will be there to guide and to protect us and sustain us through the dark valley. There's protection for us. And I tell you, this is the way to die. There's no other way to die. To die as one of the Lord's sheep with the shepherd in control, directing our way into death, through death, bringing us safely through to the other side with God's full protection over us. But some of you are not ready to die. You're not ready to die. You haven't even got to Psalm 22. let alone being able to say, He's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Some of you who have some knowledge and some sense will be able to say, like one of old, He is a shepherd. People in other religions can say the Lord is a shepherd. What do they mean by that? They mean He's one of many. There's many religions in the world. There's many leaders in the world of those religions. Many prophets, false prophets. But even in other religions, including Islam, they will say Jesus Christ is a shepherd. He is a leader. And then there's others with a little bit more knowledge, and they can say, well, He's more than a shepherd. I believe that He is the shepherd. He is the only one. He's the true one. And yet they're not saved. They will admit He's the only one. He's the shepherd. But they don't know Him. Only the true Christian who has got to the Psalm 22 and said He's my Saviour can then in a personal way say He's mine. He's mine. He's my shepherd. And I know Him. And when I come to die, just like David, I've nothing to fear. Because He's going to lead me. He's going to direct me. He's going to be with me every step of the way through the valley of the shadow of death. And one day I'm going to go through that valley. And one day I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Christian, you have everything to look forward to. What about you who know Him not? There are unsaved in this meeting who do not know the shepherd of a man's soul. Is it not time you could write with him and came to the Saviour? Oh, it is. I trust that God will give you grace. The only thing that can save you is His grace. May God give you grace to come to Him and believe in Him and get to 22, get to the cross, and get to 23. For the moment He becomes your Saviour, He becomes your shepherd, and He will direct you for the rest of your life and bring you through the valley of the shadow of death.